Given what the Confederacy managed to accomplish with just few ships, one can only imagine what they might have done with an entire fleet of French-made ironclad warships. In this, we can recognize that Henry Shelton Sanford's espionage operations in Europe played a vital role in the American Civil War. The Confederacy also conducted foreign spy operations inside North America. Mainly, these were covert operations to support secessionist movements inside northern states. To head up this operation, Confederacy President Jefferson Davis personally appointed a former Secretary of the Interior, Jacob Thompson, to run the entire operation from a secret headquarters in Toronto, Ontario. Confederate covert operations in Toronto were heavily infiltrated by Union secret agents. As one historian wrote, traitors in his inner circle had been in the pay of the U.S. government for months. Key operatives had been captured and jailed. Others had blown their cover and were on the run. Just a few floors beneath his suite in a Toronto hotel, detectives staked out the bar. Across the street at Toronto's main railway station, others noted the comings and goings of his contacts. Canadian authorities were so angry at what they believed was his abuse of their nation's neutrality that they considered jailing him. Signs of failure were everywhere. As unlikely as the entire Toronto operation may seem now, it was a very serious affair. In all, Thompson spent over $600,000, some estimates exceed $1 million, trying to persuade the Sons of Liberty to help support various militias to press for secession. Thompson is best known for his Northwest Conspiracy, when in 1864 he commissioned a small guerrilla unit to cross over into Ohio to stir up the so-called Copperhead Militia, allegedly ready to rebel with its several hundred thousand members into a secessionist movement to form a new Northwestern Confederacy that would include the states of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Missouri. The leadership of the Copperhead group persuaded Thompson that they were ready to act. All they needed was cash for guns and ammunition. Thompson devoted most of his energy in summer and autumn 1864 towards supporting these secessionist groups, who turned out to have greatly exaggerated their numbers. Here again, northern spies had infiltrated the militias so that their leaders were tracked and usually arrested. By autumn 1864, the Northwest secessionist movement was all but dead, so that Thompson moved on to try to provoke a war between the North and Canada, still then a British colony, by staging a cross-border attack of Confederate soldiers on northern targets. In mid-September 1864, a Confederate unit managed to seize a Lake Erie passenger steamer, the Philo Parsons. They traveled to the Bass Islands, 9 miles north of Sandusky, Ohio, where they released the passengers. There they seized a second steamer, the Island Queen. On 19 September 1864, they intended to attack the northern warship, the USS Michigan, then anchored at Sandusky, and then to level several Great Lakes cities with bombardment, Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Sandusky. Expecting the Michigan to be empty, in fact, it was loaded with Union soldiers waiting to set a trap. Realizing they had been duped, the attack force sailed back into Canada, scuttled the Philo Parsons, and disappeared. Later, it was revealed that Thompson's agent in Sandusky, Thomas Cole, had been arrested earlier in the day, foiling the entire operation. Cole had been arrested on the basis of information provided by a Union spy working inside a Confederate refugee community in Windsor, Ontario. With this failure, officers close to Thompson in Toronto began to desert to the Union, taking with them details about Thompson's safe houses, a secret weapons factory, and operations that led to the demise of the entire operation. In the next lecture, we will turn our attention to domestic operations in the war between the North and the South in the American Civil War.
This ends Lecture 12. Remember to visit this course's website at www.modernscholar.com, where you'll find additional information about the lectures you've just heard. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399 and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.